This morning, I spoke about Buddhism, one of the three great themes of this conference. But in reality, there is no such thing as Buddhism. No such thing as Buddhism. Buddhism is an abstraction. It's just a word. There's nothing really corresponding to it. In reality, there are only Buddhists. You and me. So this afternoon, I'm going to speak just about Buddhists. And I'm going to speak about them, speak about us, in very practical terms. This morning we had quite a good dose of theory. And that was necessary. Huh? It's necessary for us as Buddhists to be concerned with theory. Theory is in fact indispensable. Theory represents, so to speak, the philosophical underpinning of the practical. It represents the principle that makes the practice possible. But this afternoon, we can leave it all to one side. We can take it as read. This afternoon, I'm going to speak not about Buddhism, but about Buddhists. So you can all sit back after your lunch and your rest and have a comparatively easy time while I speak about Buddhists. But what is a Buddhist? What is it that makes one? What is it that makes us a Buddhist? Well, the answer is really very simple indeed. A Buddhist is one who goes for refuge to the three jewels. A Buddhist is one who goes for refuge to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. A Buddhist is one who goes for refuge to the Buddha as Buddha, as enlightened one. He or she has faith that the Buddha is the enlightened one, not something else. I've mentioned, I think, that I spent some 20 years in India. And Venerable Gunarasana has also spent some time in India. And if one, of course, is in India, one meets with Hindus. One meets with pious, religious-minded Hindus. And if one meets with pious, religious-minded Hindus, and if one mentions the Buddha, if one mentions the name of the Buddha, they say, oh yes, we know all about him. He is the Navamavatara. That is to say, the ninth incarnation of the Hindu god Vishnu. And of course, if one is a Buddhist, one has to disagree with that. That the Buddha is not the Navamavatara, not the ninth incarnation of the god Vishnu, as related in the Hindu Puranas. Because according to the Hindu Puranas, the Buddha was what they call a mithya avatara, a false avatara, who came to teach Buddhism and to teach especially the doctrine of non-violence, so that people should stop making sacrifices, especially animal sacrifices, and stop pleasing the gods, the Vedic gods, and therefore not go to heaven. Huh? So this was the story about the Buddha, which was put about in the Hindu Puranas, that he was the Mithya Avatara. Huh? So one had to disagree with this and say, well, no, the Buddha is not an avatara, not a descent, not an incarnation. He's a human being who, by his own efforts, gained enlightenment, supreme enlightenment. This was my experience in India. I very often had to disagree with my Hindu friends. Some of them were very good friends, but I still had to disagree with them. And similarly, the Buddha was not just a wise man, someone like, say, Socrates. So we don't go for refuge to the Buddha if we consider him just as a wise man. We don't go for refuge to the Buddha if we consider him just as an ethical teacher, someone like Epictetus. If we had that sort of idea about the Buddha, if we have any idea about him other than that he is the enlightened one, there's no refuge. There's no going for refuge. Going for refuge to the Buddha means going for refuge to him as the enlightened one. Similarly, there's no refuge if one simply admires the Buddha's personality from a safe distance. One thinks, or one says, oh, how wonderful, the Buddha was so kind, so compassionate, so wise. But one just admires his personality from a distance without actually being moved by it. In that case also, there's no going for refuge. No amount of simple admiration constitutes a going for refuge. And in the same way, one goes for refuge to the Dharma as to the transcendental path to enlightenment. One doesn't regard the Dharma just as a subject of eclectic interest or the subject of merely academic interest. One can know quite a lot about the Dharma, especially in its historical manifestations, without going for refuge, without being actually a Buddhist. I won't say that academic knowledge about Buddhism is useless. It certainly has its own definite limited value. But going for refuge to the Dharma is quite another matter. Going for refuge to the Sangha means going for refuge to the Sangha as to those who have personally realized the higher stages of the transcendental path, whether they've realized it in the past, realize it in the present, or will realize it in the future. It's to that Sangha that one goes for refuge. Sometimes it's said that one goes for refuge to the Bhikkhu Sangha, to the order of monks. But this is not at all correct. The Sangha to which one goes for refuge consists of both monks and lay people. Indeed, on this level, the significance of monk and lay hasn't really very much bearing. So, these, very briefly, are the three jewels. And it's going for refuge to these three jewels that makes one a Buddhist. But there's something else also that makes one a Buddhist, and that is the observance of ethical precepts. These precepts are an expression of one's going for refuge. If one does not observe them, or at least is not making a serious effort to observe them, it means that one is not really going for refuge. So let me say just a few words about the four basic precepts. Ethical precepts. But before I do that, I want to make just a point with regard to the refuges. You may have noticed that I speak of going for refuge. I don't speak of taking refuge or taking the refuges. Many Western Buddhists, however, do this. They talk of taking refuge with Bhikkhu so-and-so, or taking the refuges with Lama so-and-so. But the original Pali and Sanskrit expression is definitely I go, gacchami, I go. It isn't I take. I go, gacchami. And this difference is, I think, quite important. Going for refuge is an action. It's something that one does. It's an action away from oneself, even an action out of oneself. It's a movement towards something, a movement towards someone infinitely greater than oneself. One can even speak of this going for refuge as a surrender of oneself. But taking refuge, or taking the refuges, has a rather different sort of connotation. It suggests appropriation. It suggests trying to make the three jewels yours in an egoistic sense, rather than trying to make yourself theirs. It suggests almost trying to grab the three jewels. And this brings us to a very important general point. And perhaps here, just for the sake of a little change, I can be a bit autobiographical.